following program is intended for mature audiences.
They used to bounce messages across the earth.
Shows. Everyone in the old world had a show.
Do you think there's still somebody out there? Sending shows?
Who knows? Those are the planes of silence.
Savino Veritas, live from Burbank, California.
Stand up to hypocrisy. If you don't, the hypocrites will teach. Stand up to ignorance. Because if you let the ignorant run free, they will spread ignorance like a disease. Stand up for truth, because if you don't, there will be no truth to your existence. You're listening to Savino Veritas in Wine the Truth, the fine wine of select gripes. This is Tom Savino coming to you live from Burbank, California on SRN1 at 148.ca/1 and 24/7 at juicetalk.com, juicetalk.com. Stay with us. It's been an eventful day as Jim Comey has finally testified.
I'm Keith Olbermann, and this is The Resistance. FBI and congressional investigators are reportedly scouring evidence that Donald Trump may have met privately 13 months ago with the Russian ambassador who was at the nexus of all of the Trump-Russia scandals. This was reported last week by NBC News and CNN, but it fell between the cracks that were the Covfefe tweet and the abandonment of the Paris Climate Accord, and it got no traction, and it is kind of important. It is, in fact, weapons-grade important. In short, it's when Donnie met Sergey. The date was April 27, 2016. The locale, the Mayflower Hotel in Washington. The sponsor, the so-called Center for the National Interest, which is run by the Russian emigre Dmitry Symes, who has long maintained a personal connection to the Kremlin and Vladimir Putin, along with neocon Richard Burt, who, among other things, is an advisor to the infamous Russian outfit Alpha Bank. This was not some casual event. The Mayflower speech was the first major foreign policy address of Donald Trump's presidential campaign, and in the front row for it, you can see him in the pictures and the video, is the Russian ambassador Sergei Kislyak. Also in attendance, Jared Kushner and Jeff Sessions. It is also no secret that before the speech, there was a VIP reception at which, quoting the Wall Street Journal, Trump warmly greeted Mr. Kislyak and three other foreign ambassadors who came to the reception. But just how warmly? Five current and former U.S. officials said they are aware of classified intelligence, suggesting there was some sort of private encounter between Trump and his aides and the Russian envoy, NBC reported, despite a heated denial from Sessions. We all know how much credibility a heated denial from Sessions about meetings with Russians should be given. It is also unclear if that VIP session and the so-called private encounter between Trump and Kislyak are the same thing or separate meetings, but if you read a little between the lines, you get a sense that there is some evidence somewhere, maybe from our intelligence people surveilling Kislyak or another country's spies surveilling somebody else, that at some point on April 27th, 2016, there were more words between Trump and his entourage and Kislyak than just the pleasantries of a receiving line, as described this past March by a spokesman for that pro-Kremlin group that hosted Trump's speech. Moreover, those would seem to be words that are just now ringing bells. NBC quotes an official who says, "The FBI is interested in who was at the event and what was said in the context of the counterintelligence investigation into Russian election meddling." Timing is, as always, everything. April 27th, 2016 is around the time that the Democratic National Committee would begin to realize there was unusual activity on its computer network. This would soon be confirmed as the Russian hacking. All the NBC sources emphasize they only know there is classified intel about the Trump-Kislyak meeting or meetings. They don't know what it confirms or that it confirms anything. They and everybody else know that this week Trump is up to his neck in Former FBI directors, what with James Comey scheduled to testify to the Senate Intelligence Committee Thursday, and his predecessor, the new Justice Department Special Counsel Robert Mueller, reportedly taking over what had been a separate criminal investigation into Paul Manafort and Russia, and also reportedly considering expanding still further into investigating the roles of Attorney General Sessions and Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein in Trump's firing of Comey, and the Associated Press's source on whether or not Mueller legally can investigate Sessions and Rosenstein is a pretty good one. It's Rosenstein himself. As you will recall, Trump has reportedly at least mulled invoking executive privilege to keep Comey from testifying. But my friend John Dean and others have pointed out that Comey is now a private citizen, and anyway, the subject of what Trump and Comey talked about was discussed by Trump publicly, on Twitter no less. So if there was any executive privilege, Trump has piddled it away. The Trump-Russia octopus is now so large that his apologists, like Fox News, have even gone so far as to offer a kind of doomsday defense. Collusion is not a crime, only an antitrust law, said Greg Jarrett. You can collude all you want with a foreign government in an election. There's no such statute. So Trump's not guilty of joining with an enemy foreign government to fix the presidential election, or, oh, well, maybe he is. But so what? There ain't no law against that. In fact, if Trump colluded with the Russians, PolitiFact reported that he could be guilty of fraud, public corruption, conspiracy, and receiving illegal foreign campaign contributions. And if he traded something to the Russians for their help, like a vow to lift sanctions against Russia or a vow to destroy NATO, well, we have now moved into the territory of espionage and treason charges. The original point here. The reporting on FBI and congressional investigations of what happened when Donald Trump and Sergei Kislyak met in Washington on April 27th, 2016 might be the most important break yet in this case. Or it might mean nothing. Because not only does it get lost in the latest giant bag of manure generated just this week by this man occupying this presidency, but it also gets lost in the amazing number of individual Trump-Russia scandals. You may have seen this on the internet. As best as I can find, it tracks back to early April and a repost on a political cartoon website by somebody calling themselves Radish. Let me read all of it except the fringy stuff that doesn't hold much water. I don't know, Radish began. It's hard for me to see any U.S. ties to Russia except for the Flynn thing and the Manafort thing. And the Tillerson thing, and the Sessions thing, and the Kushner thing, and the Carter Page thing, and the Roger Stone thing, and the Felix Sater thing, and the Boris Epstein thing, and the alleged Rosneft thing, and the supposed Gazprom thing, and the Sergei Gorkov banker thing, and the Donald Trump Jr. thing, and the Sergei Kislyak thing, and the Russian affiliated interest thing, and the Russian business interest thing, and the Alex Schneider thing, and the hack of the DNC thing, and the Guccifer 2.0 thing, and the Mike Pence I don't know anything thing, and Trump's public request to Russia to hack Hillary's email thing, and the Trump house sale for $100 million at the bottom of the housing bust to the Russian Fertilizer King thing, and the Russian Fertilizer King's plane showing up in Concord, North Carolina during Trump's rally campaign thing, and the Nunes sudden flight to the White House in the night thing, and the Cyprus bank thing, and Trump not releasing his tax returns thing, and the Republican Party's rejection of an amendment to require Trump to show his taxes thing, and the election hacking thing, and the GOP platform change to the Ukraine thing, and the Steele dossier thing, and the Leninist Bannon thing, and the intelligence community's investigative reports thing, and Trump's reassurance that the Russian connection is all fake news thing, and Spicer's Russian dressing, there's nothing there thing. So there's probably nothing there since the swamp has been drained. These people would never lie. Probably why Nunes cancels the investigations meetings. All this must be normal. Just a bunch of separate dots with no connection. And all that was before the Trump Kislyak thing. Resist. Peace. It's hard for me to see any U.S. ties to Russia except for the Flynn thing and the Manafort thing. And the Tillerson thing, and the Sessions thing, and the Kushner thing, and the Carter Page thing, and the Roger Stone thing, and the Felix Sater thing, and the Boris Epstein thing, and the alleged Rosneft thing, and the supposed Gazprom thing, and the Sergei Gorkov banker thing, and the Donald Trump Jr. thing, and the Sergei Kislyak thing, and the Russian affiliated interest thing, and the Russian business interest thing, and the Alex Schneider thing, and the hack of the DNC thing, and the Guccifer 2.0 thing, and the Mike Pence I don't know anything thing, and Trump's public request to Russia to hack Hillary's email thing, and the Trump house sale for $500 million at the bottom of the housing bust to the Russian Fertilizer King thing and the Russian Fertilizer King's plane showing up in Concord, North Carolina during Trump's rally campaign thing and the Nunes sudden flight to the White House in the night thing and the Cyprus bank thing and Trump not releasing his tax returns thing and the Republican Party's rejection of amendment to require Trump to show his taxes thing and the election hacking thing and the GOP platform change to the Ukraine thing and the Steele dossier thing and the Leninist Bannon thing and the intelligence community's investigative reports thing and Trump's reassurance that the Russian connection is all fake news thing and Spicer's Russian dressing, there's nothing there thing, there's probably nothing there since the swamp has been drained, these people would never lie, probably why Nunes canceled the thing, all this must be normal, just a bunch of separate dots with no connection.
Sale for $100 million at the bottom of the housing
and all that was before the Trump kiss thing. And the Russian Tillerson thing, plane showing up in Concord, thing, North Carolina during Trump's thing, rally campaign thing, and the Nunes sudden flight to the White House Sater in the night thing, and the Cyprus bank thing, and Trump not releasing his tax returns thing, and the Republican Party's rejection of amendments to require Trump to show his taxes thing, and the election hacking thing, and the GOP platform change to the Ukraine thing, and the Steele dossier thing, and the Leninist Bannon thing, and the intelligence community's investigative reports thing, and Trump's reassurance that the Russian connection is all fake news thing, and Spicer. There's probably nothing there since the swamp has been drained, and these people would never lie, probably why news canceled the election. It's not being normal, and then just a bunch of separate dots with no connection, and the Cyprus bank thing, and Trump and all that was the tax returns thing, and the Republican Party's rejection of amendments to require Trump to show his taxes thing, and the election hacking thing, and the GOP platform change to the Ukraine thing, and the Steele dossier thing, and the Leninist Bannon thing, and the intelligence community's investigation. And all that was before the Trump Kislyak thing.
Well, as expected, the GROP, that used to be the GOP, now it's the GROP, the greedy Russian ops. As expected, they are freaking out over the truth spoken by Comey. This is Savina Betadas in Wine, the Truth, Fine Wine of Select Gripes. And my gripe, my biggest gripe today is the Republican Party, the Repealicans, as I call them, when we wanted legislation passed that would help everybody. They are destroying democracy as we know it. And this so-called president... This so-called president, this scum of the earth, Donald Trump. Oh, my God, Donald Trump. God help us. God help us, please. Please leave somehow. Donald Trump is, if anything, unprecedented. And he has now has an attack ad against former FBI Director James Comey. Let's listen.
As head of the FBI, James Comey put politics over protecting America. After the FBI banned terms like radical Islam for political correctness, Comey allowed the dangerous practice to continue. When terror attacks were on the rise last year, Comey was consumed with election meddling, and after he testified before the U.S. Senate, Comey's own staff admitted some of his answers were flat out wrong. James Comey, just another D.C. insider, only in it for himself. Paid for by Great America Alliance.
I lost a great, great servant and a great man, an honest man, a truthful man in James Comey. And now the president seems to have a little bit of difficulty in filling positions. Savino Veritas reporter tried to ask some people about what their intentions were about joining the Trump administration. We tried to reach them, but this is what happened. The asshole in chief has famously said, "I could go out on Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody, and I'd still be elected." And it seems to be coming true in many respects. How much evidence do we need to put this guy away? How much evidence do we need? There's a troubling article in the New York Magazine by Jonathan Chait, and it's on that topic. I'm not going to read you the article. But it is, I will read you these three paragraphs, which are very troubling, and comment on it as I read along. Basically, the premise of the article, or the theme, is that no matter what happens, no matter how much evidence there is, Republicans are not going to impeach this man. They're not going to remove him from office. And let's look at these three paragraphs, and I'll comment on it as we go along. While it may seem puzzling to liberals, this kind of behavior is consistent with the method of the conservative movement. The conservative movement takeover of the Republican Party began in the 60s and took decades to complete. Conservatives still have not lost their sense of being an insurgent movement that might at any moment be betrayed by the party establishment. Conservatives think of their role as quasi-independent, but they also imagine it as focusing exclusively on enforcing fealty to their doctrine by politicians who might otherwise be inclined to wander. Comment here, because that's an interesting perspective, because I wonder about the wandering, that so few of them stray off from the party line, and the party line is so precise to actually be prescribed by the powers that be in the Republican Party. These are your talking points. Do not veer off these talking points. Use these words exactly. So this is an interesting point here. I think there's a lot of truth in this, unfortunately. I continue on the article by Jonathan Chait. The scenario they are built to fight against is the Republican president who colludes with Democrats, not one who colludes with foreign dictators. This is the most important sentence, commenting now. This is the most important sentence in the entire article, and I'm going to read it again with gusto. Gusto, come here. I'm going to read it. Read it with me, please. The scenario they are built to fight against is the Republican president who colludes with Democrats, not one who colludes with foreign dictators. Wow, that is that's where it's at, friends. That's where it's at with the GOP, now GROP, G-R-O-P, greedy Russian ops. That's who these people are now. Back to the article. If the president is fighting against the opposition party, they assume he is acting correctly. Conservative organs like National Review originally viewed Richard Nixon with hostility, and perverse as it may sound, came to his defense because of Watergate. Perverse as it may sound, the National Review came to Richard Nixon's defense because of Watergate. Back to the paragraphs, just a couple of things. Many conservatives opposed Trump during the primaries because they suspected, with good reason, that his conservatism was shallow or insincere. As it is insincere. Everything he does is my commentary. Everything he does is insincere. It is only for his benefit, his pocketbook, only, period. So everything he does is insincere. Back to the article. They worried that once elected, Trump would abandon their priorities and pursue the most expedient course. But Trump has not done that at all. The policies or talking points Trump has abandoned are the centrist ones. He would protect Medicaid from cuts, give everybody terrific coverage, hammer the big banks, spend $1 trillion on infrastructure, and cut deals with both parties. This week, Trump formally abandoned the last possible area of ideological compromise in infrastructure, quote, clarifying, end quote, that his plan relies on private industry, states or cities ponying up the money. Trump's budget actually cuts federal investments in infrastructure. He has positioned himself to the right of even House Republicans on domestic spending and continues to push for their grossly unpopular plan to cut $1 trillion from Obamacare. Quote, the never Trump conservative argument that Trump is not a conservative, one that I, too, made repeatedly during the Republican primaries, is not only no longer relevant, it is no longer true, end quote, points out the popular conservative talk show host Dennis Prager. Trump is faithfully supporting the conservative agenda, so most conservatives faithfully support him. Their concerns are pragmatic ones about his effectiveness on behalf of their common agenda, rather than moral objections to the legitimacy and propriety of his actions. Trump may have committed impeachable offenses, but the impeachment clock has not even begun to move. That, again, from the New York Magazine. New York Magazine, Jonathan Chait. I think, unfortunately, there's a lot of truth to that. A lot of truth to that. We, who are Americans, who believe in the Constitution, who believe in truth, dare I say it, justice, and the American way, we must think of other ways to rid the world of this menace. Donald Trump is a menace to the world. He is absolute cancer, metastasizing at a ridiculous rate for the idea of the Democratic Republic and a Constitution. He is stepping all over the Constitution every step he takes, every step he takes, every word out of his mouth, every tweet out of his twat. He is just totally destroying democracy and Western ideals. He must be removed. He must be removed. I don't think Republicans are going to come up to this. As a matter of fact, yesterday, Dan Coats, who is the director of National Intelligence, and Admiral Rogers, who is the head of the NSA, refused under oath, under oath, in the Senate Intelligence Committee, public hearings on television, they refused to admit that Trump asked them to end this investigation. They refused to admit it. You know why? Because they are Republicans. They are part of the GOP, now GROP, G-R-O-P, greedy Russian ops. That's who the Republicans are. That's who Donald Trump is. Donald Trump knows how to please these people. He knows how to manipulate the system. And he must be removed from the face of the earth somehow. He must be removed. He must be removed. Donald Trump must be removed. Now, can we do it legally? Yes. But as long as the Republicans are in power, as long as GROP is in power, greedy Russian ops, as long as they're in power, he'll never be removed because they won't do the legal things, even though there is a mountain of evidence, not just to impeach him, but to make sure he's removed from office. Because remember, folks, impeachment does not mean being removed from office. President Clinton was impeached, but not removed from office. Richard Nixon would have most assuredly been impeached had he not resigned. But there were no ramifications to Nixon. He just went about his merry way as a private citizen, even getting a pardon from Gerald Ford. So there's a lot of fears about that, too. I mean, if anything is brought up about Jared Kushner, if criminal charges are brought up regarding Jared Kushner, and believe me, don't believe me, that's a word, that's the phrase Donald Trump would say, investigate for yourself and see the mountain of evidence against Jared Kushner alone. The mountain of evidence against Jared Kushner alone. Just see that. And if he were to be held accountable legally, Donald Trump would pardon him for sure. Donald Trump is a menace to the Western way of thinking. Is the Western way of thinking still happening? Well, more and more, it seems like it isn't. So, here's the thing. This was Comey's testimony today. Is that going to lead to anything? Is it going to lead anything? Is it going to lead to anything? It should lead to prison for Donald Trump. It should lead to prison for Jared Kushner. It should lead to prison for Paul Manafort. It should lead to prison for any and all so-called Americans who colluded with the Russians to destroy our democratic republic. That's what it should lead to. Will it? We doubt it. If Jonathan Chait's article is correct from New York Magazine, as long as the Republicans, the GOP, now GROP, G-R-O-P, greedy Russian ops, as long as they are in power, nothing will happen. And we will have to take this injustice until somehow this man is removed.
And his claim that Comey exonerated him. It better be a tape on which every reference to every single thing is as Trump has publicly claimed it is, and not as Comey has reportedly written it is. Trump cannot be wrong once. If he is wrong once and Comey is right once, that brings us option two. I'm Keith Olbermann, and this is The Resistance. Barring the unforeseen, Donald Trump is finished. The unforeseen, like some imaginary or inflated threat, national calamity, terrorism, war, or another impossible long shot, Trump telling the truth. Otherwise, something has happened, the finality of which few have noted, that will end, soon or late, the Trump presidency. It happened in two stages, and when the second stage hit, the smarter Republicans began to at least look to see where the exits were. And some, like Jason Chaffetz and Paul Ryan and Ben Sasse and Mike Pence, edged imperceptibly towards those exits. It is the threat Trump made against James Comey about a tape, combined with the revelation from one of Comey's associates about memos. There are only so many ways out of this for Trump, and only one of them is good, and all the others are all proof of lies and impeachable offenses, and the chances that the good one is real are about 1 in 1 billion. This registered with Brian Beutler of the New Republic, and I am indebted to what he wrote on this because he saw it and I did not. And amid the tsunami of Trump stories in the last week or so, it was easy to miss. James Comey better hope that there are no tapes of our conversations before he starts leaking to the press. So Comey reportedly has a series of memos of the conversations, which would document his version of his conversations with Trump, presumably noting in real time Trump asking Comey to discontinue the Michael Flynn investigation, a potential violation of the so-called take care provision of the Constitution, Article 2, Section 3, asking Comey to be loyal to him first and by extension to the Constitution second, violation of the presidential oath of office, asking Comey when the FBI was going to announce it was not investigating him about Russia, potential obstruction of justice, violations of the White House Justice Department contacts policy, and Lord knows what else is in there. It is a one-witness impeachment trial now waiting to happen. Either Comey is lying, and lying, and lying, and lying, or Trump's presidency is already over, and we just don't know whether the Republicans will bury it soon in hopes of recovering by the midterms, or if they will wait for the possibility the Democrats will get to do it early in 2019. Comey has that and all that that implies, and Trump has a tape. Maybe. Option one, Trump's only hope is that his schoolboy bully tweet means there is a tape, and it better be a tape on which every reference to Michael Flynn and Russia and loyalty and the FBI and Comey and his claim that Comey exonerated him, it better be a tape on which every reference to every single thing is as Trump has publicly claimed it is and not as Comey has reportedly written it is. Trump cannot be wrong once. If he is wrong once and Comey is right once, that brings us option two, one article of impeachment. All you need is one. Ultimately, all those thousands of hours of Watergate tapes needed to show was Nixon on June 23, 1972, plotting to stop the FBI investigation of the Watergate break-in, just as all this scandal would need would be, say, Trump talking to Comey about the Flynn case and asking him to, quote, let this go. That's if there are tapes and if they produce just one pro-Comey fact. If it's more than one, if it's all of them, well, that's option three. Given not just Trump's hundreds of lies just since he assumed office, but his seeming complete disinterest in and unawareness of the difference between lying and telling the truth, the safe guess would be Trump has no idea what would be on the tapes if they exist, and they're likely to prove him repeatedly violating the law and vindicating Comey, in which it's not just impeachment as in option two, it would then suggest other impeachable acts and several articles of impeachment. Of course, it can still get worse for Trump in option four. There are tapes, but Trump refuses to let anybody listen to them, claiming executive privilege or personal property or whatever he would come up with. At which point he would presumably be in violation of subpoenas from the Justice Department and maybe both houses of Congress, and he'd have a very public legal case that would go up to the Supreme Court, which heard this exact story 40-odd years ago and voted unanimously against the president about the tapes. So he's humiliated, and he still has to now go back to face option two or option three. And still it can get worse, as in option five. Trump claims there were tapes, but he has destroyed them to protect executive privilege and national security. Do not laugh. Several advisors told Nixon to destroy his tapes. His former Treasury Secretary, John Connolly, said he should do it in the Rose Garden with the press looking on. Apart from the fury from Capitol Hill, destroying the tapes might deplete much of Trump's political support. If Comey's memos accuse Trump of impeachable offenses, and Trump has tapes which he claims clear him, and he destroys those vindicating tapes, how many of even Trump's voters, and more importantly his supporters in Congress, how many would see the ultimate stupidity of that? You threatened him with the tapes, he's lying about you, so you destroyed the tapes? And still it can get worse than all this. Option six. For whatever reason, desperate, last chance self-protection, or finally listening to somebody else's advice, or thinking he can win the world back to his side, Trump announces there are no tapes and there were no tapes. He now might be guilty of fabricating evidence to aid obstruction of justice. Worse yet, he would have to now admit that something he implied was not true. So far, Trump has been asked only once about the purported Comey tape in a Fox interview, and he adamantly refused to comment. Quote, "That I can't talk about," he said. "I won't talk about that." But to have to talk about it? To have to concede that what he has said previously was not entirely correct? Never mind, not true, not correct? He's Trump. When was the last time he admitted he was not correct? The admission alone might destroy him from within. And still, there is one last outcome that is worse than all the others. Option 7. Trump, for once, does the smart thing and comes down from his self-decorated cross of being the most unfairly treated politician in the history of the galaxy. And he backs down from his threat, and he puts his tail between his legs and reveals quietly or loudly that there are no tapes. And then somebody else in the administration, some operations guy at the White House who's under oath and who really doesn't want to go to jail for perjury to protect Trump, he testifies somewhere that, no, there are tapes of Trump and Comey. And not just Trump and Comey, but tapes of Trump and everybody else from whom he asked loyalty. And everybody he asked to interfere with this investigation or to help him get dirt on this person he fired. And there are tapes of Trump and the Russians last week. And on and on and on. After all, we didn't find out about the Nixon tapes from Nixon. We found out about them because a Republican attorney asked a White House operations guy named Alex Butterfield. Nixon had never been asked if he was taping everybody who came through his office door. And come to think of it, Trump has yet to be asked if he was taping everybody who came through his office door. But that's because we don't have to ask. We have that stupid tweet he stupidly sent to stupidly threaten Comey, to stupidly make himself feel better. And until and unless Trump can now prove the tapes vindicate him, or until and unless Trump can now prove the tapes don't exist and never have existed, the Republicans in Congress have to assume that there are tapes. And if tapes could destroy Nixon 2 years after he won 49 out of 50 states, they sure as hell can destroy Trump, and they can take half of the Republicans seeking re-election next year with them. It was hours after the New York Times story about the Comey memo that Jason Chaffetz tweeted that he was already to subpoena it. And only hours more until the chair of the House Republican Conference endorsed that. And only hours until Speaker Ryan said he was fine with it too. And only hours more until the appointment of Robert Mueller as the Justice Department special counsel on Trump and Russia. And only hours after that when Fox couldn't find any Republican congressman to come on and defend Trump. And only hours after that that Mike Pence filed the paperwork with the Federal Election Committee for his own PAC, because sure, it doesn't look bad that not 4 months into a new administration with the president already running for re-election, the vice president is launching a separate PAC. The Republicans are not fleeing, and the room is not yet on fire. But think of all of what we have seen the Republicans do since Trump decided to threaten with secret intelligence and hidden recording devices a man who is in the secret intelligence and hidden recording devices business. It all becomes clear. At 8:26 a.m. May 12th, Trump hit send. In terms of his presidency, he might as well have hit delete. And like us, the Republicans now know it is no longer a question of if, but of Donald Trump better hope there are no memos of our conversations before he starts threatening, oh right, there are. Resist. Peace.
This is the sixth and final in the series from the Los Angeles Times. The Problem with Trump. Number 6, California Fights Back. April 7th, 2017, Los Angeles Times. When Donald Trump threatened on the campaign trail to deport every single immigrant living in the country illegally, bring back offshore drilling, and reverse the anti-pollution policies that help clear smoggy skies, Californians immediately understood that our state would be disproportionately affected and disproportionately harmed by the reckless policies he was hoping to enact. After he was sworn in, he went further, singling out the state for attack. California, Trump declared in February, in many ways is out of control, end quote.
I don't think that's funny.
In one overwrought tweet, He suggested that the federal government should cut all funding for UC Berkeley because a protest against a conservative guest speaker had turned violent.
This calls for a show to...
A few days later, he declared, even more irresponsibly, that he would defund the entire state if he felt it wasn't cooperating sufficiently in his efforts to root out undocumented immigrants.
Inconceivable!
Trump had already alienated many state voters with his plans to build a costly and unnecessary border wall, revoke the health insurance of millions of low-income people, and gut climate change policies. Now he was taking on California itself, a state in which more than 1 out of 10 Americans lives, and which sends more than $350 billion to Washington each year in federal taxes, and gets substantially less than that back.
Show me the money.
A state with strong progressive values that it will not happily see undermined. To express their dissatisfaction, hundreds of thousands of people gathered at rallies in the state's major cities. One man's quixotic California secession campaign became a cause célèbre.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
And California's political leaders vowed to fight back. Governor Jerry Brown grumbled that if Trump cut climate data gathering efforts, California would launch its own damn satellite. Legislators put forward U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder on a hefty retainer to help challenge Trump's initiatives in court, even before he announced any. They filed a mountain of bills reacting to an array of reprehensible policies that the new president was thought to be considering. Quote, "We're going to do what we need to do to protect the people of California," end quote, said State Attorney General Xavier Becerra. The initial response of state leaders, which included some good ideas along with a bit of flailing and touch of panic, was understandable given the enormity of the threat. But as we settle in for the next 4 years, California needs to be clear-eyed about the challenges it faces and strategic about how it responds. An all-out war with the federal government is neither sustainable nor wise. The state will have to choose its battles. For starters, California should continue to pursue its agenda on human and civil rights, on clear air, water, and climate change, and on equality. Trump can dismantle the federal Clean Power Plan, but he can't stop the state from moving toward its renewable energy goal of 50% by 2030, as laid out in SB 350 2 years ago. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency can reduce national fuel efficiency standards, but if it seeks to revoke California's waiver and lets the state set its own, tougher rules, state lawmakers should fight back, including taking the agency to court if necessary. Trump can continue his counterproductive and mean-spirited efforts to deport non-criminal immigrants living in the country illegally, but the state's local law enforcement agencies are not legally required to do the Fed's job for them. They should not. California's political leaders should reach out to other states, including red ones, develop alliances on issues of common concern. Trump's contempt for renewable energy resources, the reform of marijuana laws, and the expansion of Medicaid, for instance, will surely alienate officials in other state capitals. Smoggy skies aren't unique in Los Angeles, and western states have already shown interest in investing in renewable energy. However, California's lawmakers must also be careful about allowing the, quote, resist at all costs, end quote, mentality to push them further than they ought to go. Consider the biggest California versus Trump fight so far, immigration. It is true that local police and sheriff's deputies should not be turned into immigration agents, doing work that properly belongs to the federal government and which would hamper their ability to work effectively with immigrant communities. But neither should the state, in its zeal to resist Trump, throw up obstacles to cooperation that would protect serious criminals from deportation. Early versions of SB 54, the so-called Sanctuary State Bill, that would spell out how local police agencies should work with the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agents, or ICE, allowed the state to make policing decisions that have traditionally been made locally, could have goaded ICE agents into even more harmful immigration sweeps, and potentially made it harder to keep violent criminals off the streets. Many Californians are extremely and rationally pessimistic about the next few years under President Trump. But here's another hard truth. If and when there are opportunities for reasonable collaboration with the new administration, the state must be prepared to take them. California relies on the federal government for $105 billion in aid each year. Money it badly needs. Total non-cooperation is not an option. Besides, Sacramento and Washington, D.C. have certain mutual interests. If the president wants shovel-ready infrastructure projects to fund, we have plenty. That means keeping open the lines of communication, as both Governor Brown and Mayor Eric Garcetti seem eager to do. With luck, Trump will in turn recognize that the state's big industries, tech, agriculture, entertainment, tourism, are immensely important to the national economy. If California suffers at the hands of Trump's policies, so will the rest of the nation. The reality is that California cannot go it alone. Let's stop fantasizing about CalExit.
Welcome to Fantasy Island.
As fun as it may be to imagine California taking its giant, job-creating, climate-protecting, immigrant-friendly economy and building its own nation, history suggests that would be neither wise nor feasible. California is an integral part of the United States, where it should remain, staying actively engaged. In the days ahead, we Californians must stand up to protect our nation and defend our state. We must read, write, and protest. Attend meetings and speak out honestly to those in power. We must vote, not just for president, but for school board as well. Stand up for the rule of law and the democratic process while also opposing the dangerous policies of America's new leader. For the next 4 years, we must cooperate when it is possible, but fight back when it is necessary in the interests of our state and the union to which it belongs. That was the last in the series, The Problem with Trump, from the Los Angeles Times, mid-April. And this was California Fights Back.
I alone can fix it.
When you knew you couldn't fix it alone. And the feds and media aren't kidding. We've got you covered. Penultimate collusion. When the next to last door is wide open, we ensure the final one won't ever shut. With penultimate collusion insurance, you'll get partisan spin by friendly committee reps.
That doesn't help us a lot.
Fake news redirection.
No evidence of anything into 5 investigations on Capitol Hill. That's a pretty good trick.
And conspiracy theory diversion.
Welcome back to Hannity. Questions continue to swirl around the mysterious murder of DNC staffer Seth Rich.
You can rest securely knowing that a good portion of your premium always goes toward gerrymandering to ensure they'll never be enough votes to impeach you. And with penultimate, regardless of your history of corruption and even obstruction of justice, will never drop you for a pre-existing condition. If there is a there, you can count on our there. Penultimate collusion insurance. We're there when there's a there.
Collusion insurance may void in California, Washington, and Oregon. Coverage does not include active enabling. A shift in party dominance in either Congress and or the Senate may void coverage. Collusion insurance does not cover an act of God should you be struck dead by atmospheric conditions, including but not limited to lightning, mudslides, or flood.
Penultimate collusion. There.
We get behind closed doors.
Will we ever know?
what happened in testimony today with Jim Comey behind closed doors in the classified testimony? I don't know. I hope so. I sure hope so. But as I said, or Jonathan Chait from the New York Magazine said, as long as the Republicans are in control, probably not. This is Tom Savino with Savino Veritas, and we're not behind closed doors. We're in front of open mics, and we are every Thursday evening at 8 p.m. Pacific time and 11 p.m. Eastern time at 148.ca/1. That's on the broadcasting facilities of SRN1 in Canada. Thank you, SRN1, for airing Savino Veritas. And you can hear Savino Veritas 24/7 on the Too Cool for School website, juicedtalk.com.
This is the artist D from fourculture.com. In Wine the Truth? I believe so. You're listening to Tom Savino on SRN1 live. But be sure to hop over to juicedtalk.com to download after this broadcast. That's juicedtalk.com. Now, Tom, pour me another glass of wine and get back on my radio.
It's the Fabulous Geek Show.
All tied up, spread eagle.
Veritas is satire spelled backwards.
Juicedtalk.com.
Veritas is satire spelled backwards. With a V for victory.
Savino Veritas in Wine the Truth. This is Artist D.
And Anne-Marie from Up All Night on 4Culture Radio.
Have you got any wine, Anne-Marie?
I'm completely intoxicated.
We love to wine. We drink wine. We listen to Savino Veritas every week at juicedtalk.com. Don't we love Tom?
Hi, Tom.
Hi, Tom.
How you doing?
Thank you, Artist D and Anne Marie, up all night on 4Culture Radio, and of course, 24/7 on the Too Cool for School website, juicedtalk.com. It is no secret that Savino Veritas is dedicated to taking out the fascist regime of one Donald Trump and Mr. Pence. And to that end, we have to work our ass off. So let's hear this little debate between his candidate, his opponent, Republican Handel, and Mr. Ossoff himself.
Does either candidate support a minimum wage increase? Mr. Ossoff starts with you.
Yes, I do. The minimum wage should be a living wage. I think we can raise it indexed to the cost of living because the cost of living varies widely in urban and rural areas and in different states across this country. I think that increase needs to be implemented at a pace that allows business owners to adapt their business plans so they're not shocked, their business plans are not shocked by a sudden increase in labor costs. But look, if someone's working a 40-hour work week, they deserve the kind of standard of living that Americans expect. That's part of the American dream, and there are too many folks who are having trouble making ends meet.
Minimum wage.
This is an example of the fundamental difference between a liberal and a conservative. I do not support a livable wage. I do not support a livable wage. I do not support a livable wage. I do not support a livable wage.
Work your ass off and support John Ossoff in North Carolina. He has a chance of winning. It's amazing. Now, in today's testimony hearings, Maine Democrat Senator Angus King and Comey himself serendipitously or coincidentally referred to some really deep literature that they were both thinking of that related to the situation that they were discussing, to be asked to do something to a so-called leader. I don't remember what the reference was or what piece of literature it was, but it was high literature. Now, on the other hand, we have one Donald Trump who plagiarizes commencement speeches. Who does Donald Trump plagiarize from? Shakespeare? Oh, no, no. How about Reese Witherspoon?
We take our next steps into the world.
You must go forth into the world.
It is with passion.
Passion.
Courage of conviction.
Courage in your convictions.
And most importantly.
Most importantly.
Have faith in yourself.
Be true to yourself.
We did it!
I did it.
What is going on?
It's hard for me to see any U.S. ties to Russia except for the Flynn thing and the Manafort thing. And the Tillerson thing, and the Sessions thing, and the Kushner thing, and the Carter Page thing, and the Roger Stone thing, and the Felix Sater thing, and the Boris Epstein thing, and the alleged Rosneft thing, and the supposed Gazprom thing, and the Sergei Gorkov banker thing, and the Donald Trump Jr. thing, and the Sergei Kislyak thing, and the Russian-affiliated interest thing, and the Russian business interest thing, and the Alex Schneider thing, and the hack of the DNC thing, and the Guccifer 2.0 thing, and the Mike Pence I don't know anything thing, and Trump's public request to Russia to hack Hillary's email thing, and the Trump house sale for $100 million at the bottom of the housing bust to the Russian Fertilizer King thing, and the Russian Fertilizer King's plane showing up in Concord, North Carolina during Trump's rally campaign thing, and the Nunes sudden flight to the White House in the night thing, and the Cyprus bank thing, and Trump not releasing his tax returns thing, and the Republican Party's rejection of amendments to require Trump to show his taxes thing, and the election hacking thing, and the GOP platform change to the Ukraine thing, and the sealed dossier thing, and the Leninist Bannon thing, and the intelligence community's investigative reports thing, and Trump's reassurance that the Russian connection is all fake news thing, and Spicer's Russian dressing, there's nothing there thing, so there's probably nothing there since the swamp has been drained. These people would never lie. Probably why Nunes cancels the investigation meeting. All this must be normal. Just a bunch of separate dots with no connection.
House sale for $100 million at the bottom of the housing bust.
And all that was before the Trump King thing. And the Russian Tillerson thing.
Plane showing up in
Sessions thing.
North Carolina
during
Trump's rally campaign
thing.
And the Nunes sudden flight to the White House
in the night thing.
And the Cyprus bank thing.
And Trump not releasing his tax returns thing.
And the Republican Party's rejection of amendments required Trump shows taxes thing.
And the election hacking thing.
And the GOP platform change to the Ukraine thing.
And the steel dossier thing,
and the Leninist Bannon thing,
and the intelligence community's investigative reports thing,
and Mike Pence's reassurance that the Russian connection is all fake news thing,
and Spicer's
Tillerson
dressing,
there's nothing there thing,
there's probably nothing there
like Swamp
thing
drain,
and these people would never lie,
probably why news can't sign
the Leninist thing,
and then
just a bunch of separate dots with no connection,
and the Cyprus bank thing,
and all that was before the tax returns thing,
and the Republican Party's rejection of amendments to require Trump to show his taxes thing,
and the election hacker thing,
and the GOP platform change to the Ukraine thing,
and the steel dossier thing,
and the Leninist Bannon thing,
and the intelligence community's investigative Ukraine thing,
and the steel dossier thing,
and the Leninist Bannon thing,
and the intelligence to the White House
investigative night thing,
and the Cyprus ban thing,
and Trump releasing the Russian tax returns thing,
and the Republican Party's rejection of amendments to
Russian dressing,
there's nothing there
thing, hacking
so there's probably nothing there since the swamp has been drained,
these people would never lie,
probably
why Nunes cancels the
and the Leninist Bannon thing
must be normal.
Just a bunch of separate dots with
no connection.
And Trump's reassurance that the Russian connection
and all that
is
was before the Trump
thing.
Thing.
And Spicer's Russian dressing, there's nothing there thing. So there's probably nothing there since the swamp has been drained. These people would never lie. Probably why Nunes cancels the investigations meetings. All this must be normal. Just a bunch of separate dots with no connection. And all that was before the Trump Kislyak thing.
In the interest of accuracy, John Ossoff is running for Congress in the 6th District in Georgia. And Senator Angus King is not a Democrat, but an independent like Bernie Sanders. Thank you all for joining Savino Veritas this Thursday night and every Thursday night at 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 11 p.m. Eastern Time, and 24/7 on JuicedTalk.com. Remember, I may be joking, but I'm never kidding.
Meeting is adjourned. Oh, I am sorry, sir. I didn't mean to overstep my bounds. You say that.
What?
Meeting is adjourned.
It is?
No, you say that, Governor.
What?
Meeting is adjourned.
It is?
The end.
By George, he's got it. It is the end.
Now, that'll be all. Just be sure to lock the door behind you on your way out. Good night.